You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, we got the state, the national, we got all the issues, man. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour number two, and about to bring on a friend of mine, Jeff Porter, in a second. I got to tell you, though, Boomer, we just got a text from Tyler from Huntsville. He says, we need to hear all three triple dippers today. I'm not sure how to take that. I mean,
hey, we're on track.
I like it. I think we're tracking just fine. Thank you very much. No, seriously. Hey, listen, you guys may remember we had Craig Monger on from 1819 News yesterday. He broke a story over the weekend that he'd been working on for a while that literally said that the Alabama Department of Public Health, state health officer Scott Harris, and state school superintendent Eric Mackey are both on the board of an organization that has some just awful, just like way beyond the pale, awful and super explicit supposedly sex education materials for kids in Alabama schools. Well, funny thing happened, despite the fact that he couldn't respond to requests for input up to the story being published, suddenly Eric Mackey has responded. I'm going to stop right there and let my buddy Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5, also as the executive editor for 1819 News himself, come on the air and tell us about it. Jeff Rowe, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. So, yeah, Craig did a great job on the show yesterday, but I understand the story has a bit of an update. So if you want to refresh and go from there, take it.
Yeah, we have finally heard back from the State Board of Education. Obviously, they were not pleased with the story itself. There was a little bit of a back and forth, a little give and take there. Some voices were raised, but eventually we found out, discovered that, that Eric Mackey, Dr. Mackey, never really had said he had never consented to being an ex officio member of the board and ordered the asked that this organization, this whatever you want to call it, a sexual education organization, remove his name from their website. The what was it? The Alabama Campaign for Adolescent Sexual Health is what they're called. Now, they formerly were known as like the Alabama Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy or something.
There's I think they're promoting teen pregnancy the way I read it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all. If y'all haven't seen these videos, they're just absurd.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the latest on this, that Eric Mackey has asked for him to be removed from this organization. I'm not necessarily convinced that this is the end of this, but we'll see. Dr. Scott Harris, the state health officer, is out of the country, so perhaps that phone call is forthcoming.
Well, first of all, great job to you and your folks at 1819. This is a story that has to be told, but here's a couple points that I think need to make sure that this story doesn't die for this very reason. Number one, who in God's name does this organization think they are if they can get out there and use literally state officials, high-level state officials, with their picture and their names as being listed on their board of directors, and we find out now perhaps that wasn't even true? I mean, that to me is fraudulent. They're raising money based on that kind of connectivity, and I would say that there's definitely some misappropriation of name ID in that one.
Well, if the Senator, what if this had happened? What if you or I were on the board, ex officio members on the board, by virtue of being esteemed talk show host, some white supremacist group made us ex officio members of their board, and AL.com or any other lefty media outlet said, hey, we're going to reach out to these guys and get them to comment, and we put them off for 2 weeks. How do you think that goes down?
Yeah, that's the other piece. I mean, it wasn't like y'all didn't try. I mean, how many times did y'all try to reach either Harris or Mackey's staff for comment on this before you went live with the story?
Well, I know on Mackey's side at least three times. Now I was told they only knew of two, but and one of the times was on a the board meeting day where they don't do media on board meeting days. I didn't know that was a rule, but I said, well, guys, why didn't y'all just hit us up that next day?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like you didn't wait for a week and a half or more to run the story for the love.
So we put it out there. I mean, I think in the last, even in the last request for comment, we said we were more specific about what we wanted to know. So, you know, sometimes this is what it takes. I hate to say it. I mean, this is how it works. We set the timeline because it's our site. We don't tell them how to do their job. They're not going to tell us how to do our job.
But we're going to report on how they do their job, one of which is you didn't bother responding when we asked you for just a pretty – by the way, that's a courtesy. And, you know, there's some trash news outlets in this state, I know for a fact, that will run anything about anybody and never give you a chance to know what's coming up front. But not y'all. You're already quickly developing the reputation as being one of the more respected outlets, and part of that is because you do exactly what you just did. You publish true stories. But you also call and give advance warning with an opportunity for comment to make sure you got your facts straight. And that's just good reporting. And I'm just, you know, the idea that they can get mad. I'd like to know, was it you? I heard it was you, by the way, that they called and raised their voice with.
Yeah, it was. It's part of the job. But I want to make a real important point, Senator. It's not necessarily, I mean, yeah, obviously Dr. Harris and Dr. Mackey are important parts of this story. And the bigger thing that I wanted to convey is there is this a wolf in sheep's clothing sort of organization that's right at our doorsteps, figuring out trying to get inside Alabama's public schools, and this is what they're trying to peddle to 10-year-olds, not you know 16, yeah. 17-year-olds, no, 10 to 14-year-olds is what they are promoting this agenda to. And I don't know if it's made its way into the school or not, but I know they're damn sure trying hard.
Oh, they are. They're trying way too hard. And by the way, they're claiming they've had some success already, because even though there's like this, well, there's nobody out there really teaching this. Well, you know, Craig in his report said this organization claims they've already trained 441 different members of the education community around the state, if I'm not mistaken.
But the important thing is here, we want y'all to know that this is out there, that these people are out there, that they have their designs. They know what they want to tell your 10-year-old about a very touchy subject matter. And this is what you need to be looking out for. This is they create a cartoon with some very graphic images, and they're going to it's a fun cartoon, and we're going to show it to your 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want my, when he's old enough, I don't want my child to be taught the birds and the bees by these lunatics.
And it's not even the birds and bees, man. They got way far afield into what I would call some very questionable, very out there, sort of sexual content that is not designed, for mainstream communication, much less with kids. And I don't think it's a touchy subject. I think they just want to touch our kids is what it really boils down to.
It's not wholesome. It defies the cultural values of this state. Now, you could disagree with the cultural values of the state. You could think we need to be more, quote-unquote, progressive, whatever, but we're not, and they're not respectful of that at all.
No, and I tell you where it's also a problem is in other parts of the media, because one of the first people to take issue with me on social media is Ruth Servin Smith, who is an education editor for AL.com, who came back on my Twitter feed and said, no one in this state is complaining about this, and there's no evidence that this has ever been done in a public school. And my response to her was, so apparently you're only offended if you can see it in a school in your locale or something like that, which basically means, just like you said, they're knocking on our door. They want our kids. They want to show this stuff. They're saying they're trying. They've got two state officials allegedly on their board. And Ruth Servin Smith doesn't even see a problem with that because, well, it's not here yet. Well,
right,
you don't build the wall because the enemy's here. You build the wall before they arrive.
Well, I mean, we're prudes. We're right-wingers. We don't understand the reality of schools. You need to understand, Senator, that the experts are going to take care of this, and you parents need to go shut up, sit in the corner, and let them do their job. It is essentially what she thinks.
Well, and then, by the way, that is also what the organization we're talking about thinks, because they say literally in there that they promote the idea that teachers should be able to help gender nonconforming kids be able to move forward in their transition without telling the parents, because, you know, it might cause for some uncomfortable conversations if they were to have to come out at home. That's not their place. Teachers do not have the luxury of keeping secrets from parents. And the idea that any organization would teach them that's okay is just a clear indication that they don't have any ability or need to get near our kids, period.
Well, how about this? Let's get those NAEP scores up. Let's teach those third graders how to read and so they could go on to the fourth grade before we start teaching them how to put on a condom, okay?
That's about the best wrap-up I could have asked for right there. Well, Jeff, so I'm hoping this story is going to continue to develop, because there is, to me, it's almost worse that Scott Harris, our state public health officer, has not even bothered to respond. He may be out of the state, but there are people here that can answer for him. And with today's connectivity, I'm sure he's accessible and has probably already read the article. So that saying nothing is not an answer.
Well, wherever he's at in the world, you know that they got cell phones. At least I hope he's not in a hut in Nepal or something. Who knows?
Okay, well, we shall see. Either way, I want to know when you got an update, because I'm going to bring it back to the show. But, hey, Jeff, man, we got to run to the break, but I appreciate you. Thanks for updating us on the story.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate
it. All right, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, as well as being the executive editor for 1819 News that broke that story. If you have not seen that story, y'all, I'm just going to tell you. Go to 1819news.com. It's still one of the top stories trending on their website. It will gall you. It will curl your hair. It will make you mad. It will make you want to go ahead and grab your kids and grandkids and take them to a sheltered space. And by the way, that is not, there's nothing wrong with being offended by this, because it's offensive. And they laugh when we say it's offensive. I got news. It's offensive. It shocks the moral conscience. It is conduct unbecoming. It is something that does not need to be near our adolescents. It's got nothing to do with education. It's all about softening the hard edges of society to make sure they can get in with whatever they want to get in with. And it's wrong. It's unconscionable. And they think they've got a bead on our Alabama kids. Don't let it happen. Not on our watch. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We will do that right now. That was a great update from Jeff. We'll be right back. I'm going to move to number two on the Triple Dipper. Stand by, Tyler from Huntsville. I'm trying to get to all three today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Got some good texts in. We got an amazing audience. And so this one's Daniel from Tullahoma, Tennessee. Says, I've worked for Halliburton in North Dakota, and when oil drops below $40 a barrel, fracking companies can't make a profit. That's why you see OPEC flood the market sometimes with cheap crude. When oil goes high, it works in the frackers' advantage. It's like a dance that OPEC and the frackers do. That's interesting. That is interesting. Okay, there's that one. We had Danny from Decatur talking about the fact he moved here from Wisconsin to Alabama from Wisconsin. Wisconsin, he says, has a minimum markup law. All gas stations have to mark up their gasoline at least 10 cents over cost. He says there were some attempts to change the law, but they never went anywhere. I don't know what the current price is there right now, but it was running about 10 to 20 cents more a gallon when he moved here. But he also said he was in Southern California about 3 weeks ago. Gas was at $5 plus a gallon, and you could get a 10-cent discount if you use cash. Interesting, Danny. Appreciate you for filling us in on that. Danny from Decatur. Dustin from Hazel Green, regarding my conversation with Jeff Poore a moment ago. He says, Phil, I've got three young daughters. I don't have a problem with a purely biological sex ed class, but I do believe it should be an elective, all caps, and at an age closer to puberty. or eighth or ninth grade. He said, but I'll be dang if my girls are going to hear about pornography at school, let alone be funded with my tax money. Anything beyond biology is up to parents and guardians to explain or choose how their children receive anything beyond that. There you go. All right, Dustin from Hazel Green. I had another one. Where did it go? Appreciate the comments from our Master Sergeant Juan Carlos. We appreciate you. Thank you, Sergeant, Master Sergeant. Dan from Rogersville. They are not teaching birds and bees. They are teaching about moray eels and frogs because they change sex. Wow. 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 I was literally halfway through reading that text thinking, I don't know where we're going, what's about to happen. And then there you go. And then Daryl from Huntsville is just commenting on one of the ads that plays, I guess, in the Huntsville market. Daryl, I don't control all the ads, man. But yeah, I'm assuming that particular advertiser you're talking about must have paid pretty good for that particular ad. Wow. Okay. I had one down here. Where was it? I did the Halliburton. I think that was it. Okay. All right. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we've got a... I'm going to go to number three of the or two of the Triple Dipper here in just a minute, right after the next break. We only got a couple of minutes, so I won't kick it off yet. But I'm going to talk about Iran's morality police and the freedom fighters in Iran. What we're seeing right now in Iran is shades of what we saw in like 1979 when the Islamic Revolution took place. They kicked out the Shah and the Ayatollahs took over. And it changed the dynamic of the Middle East. Well, we're seeing the polar shift in the opposite direction. And you can tell right now the regime is not sure what to do with this. Do we crack down hard and make a Tiananmen Square out of it and then hope for the best? Do we let it play out? Or do we acquiesce and give them a little something? Well, right now, in fact, I just right as I'm talking about it, Boomer, left screen. We got the two big screens going up here in the studio. Bam, left screen. Iran state media, at least 41 are dead in protests. It's nationwide, y'all. So if you get a chance, check out what's happening in Iran, but I'm going to fill you in on major details about it here in just a minute. In the meantime, too, I also got to tell you, you guys have already figured out this is a very military-centric show. I do not mind talking about the military. I love the military. I'm a third-generation Army officer. I've got family members on active duty right now. And I know when you hear this stuff, you also probably like me, are wondering, what's all this about Camp Lejeune Marine Base water contamination? Well, I got to tell you, it's real. So I called some friends of mine, lawyers. I'm an attorney myself, and I've worked with them. Riley and Jackson Law Firm. Riley and Jackson's out of Birmingham, but they work statewide. They've got like five lawyers working on this stuff. And I called them, and I said, what's the deal? Lay it out for me. It turns out there's like 19 different illnesses, major illnesses, to include cancers, that have been attributed to a confirmed water contamination that the government knew about at Camp Lejeune. If you were ever there, stationed there, TDY, training, as a dependent, or you're the dependent of someone who's passed away from illnesses that you're wondering about, and they were there between the years of 1953 to 1987, anywhere in that window, 53 to 87, you ought to call Riley and Jackson, free phone call, just find out whether you may qualify. Claims are being put in right now. The number is 205-879-5000. 205-879-5000. Riley and Jackson, Camp Lejeune, 1953 to 87. Do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on the Right Side. They've apparently been getting a bunch of calls from our show. All right, folks, we will be right back.